Blog Talk Radio.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can, come on, let him know. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embrace it? Come on, tell him. Here I am.
Here I am.
Come on, tell him one more time.
Life is not my own.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I give myself away so you can use me. To God be the glory for the great things that he is doing. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I want to welcome you to Woman to Woman. This is the Woman to Woman broadcast, and we normally have the open forum, but today, the Lord has led me to share today on the topic of, is the church making a difference? Is the church making a difference? And today I have some very special guests that will be calling in. They'll be calling in today. We have Tina L. Lane from Philemon Baptist Church in Newark. And we also have Pastor Tawana Thompson, who is the pastor of Truth Ministries International over on Clinton Place in Newark, New Jersey. And I'm excited about having these two young women come to share with us, because they are actually getting ready to work together. The churches are working together to make a difference in the community. And I think that's powerful. That's just so powerful that the churches will come together as the body of Christ and begin to work in the community to begin to make a difference. Amen. It's one thing for us to go into our churches on a weekly basis and to come out, and after having praised the Lord and been fed in the Word and fellowship with each other, but it's a totally different thing when you want to look out at the community around you and say, what can I do to make a difference in this community? So they will be calling in later. We also have Pastor Anthony Simmons, who will be calling in with our marriage moment. So I'm excited about what God is going to do here on the Woman to Woman broadcast on today. And again, the phone lines are always open for you to call in, for my guests to call in, you being my very special guest also, to call in and let your voice be heard on the topic. Today we'll be talking about, is the church making a difference? Is the church making a difference? So I invite you to call in and be a part of what God is doing here on today. God is good and worthy to be praised. I want to go ahead and open the prayer and just ask you to invite people that you know to come and listen to the broadcast on today. Invite your friends to come. Invite your Facebook friends. Go and tweet somebody and let them know, hallelujah, that the Woman to Woman broadcast is on. Go and tweet somebody. Let them know that the Woman to Woman broadcast is on and that they want to listen in to the broadcast. God truly is good, and he truly is worthy to be praised. So let us go ahead and open in prayer. Amen. Let us open in prayer. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name on today. You are worthy to be praised. There is none like you, Lord. And Lord, I just give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for who you are, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for this time that you have given us for the Woman to Woman broadcast. I thank you for every person that will sign in. Lord, I just ask that you will have your way and let your will be done during these next 2 hours, oh God. Speak to the hearts of your people, oh God. Lord, I just ask that you will let people be, Father God, let people be quickened in their spirits to go forth and make a difference, oh God, in the lives of those who are not saved, in the lives of others, oh God. Let us, Father God, not get comfortable, oh God, but Lord, activate us on today so that we will be inclined to go forth and make a difference in somebody's life. Lord, we love you on today and we bless your holy name. I ask that you bless Pastor Tawana Thompson, that you bless Tina Lane, that you bless Minister Valerie Allen, that you bless Sister Gazelle, each and every person, oh God, that will tune in or that will call in on today, God. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, oh God. Bless Pastor Anthony Simmons, oh God, as he comes with the marriage moments, oh God. And Lord, I send out a very special prayer, oh God, hallelujah, for one of the sisters, Father God, in the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group, oh God. Lord, I just ask that you put your hands upon Adriana Rodriguez today, oh God. I ask that you touch her, Father God, and I bind up the spirit of darkness that's hovering over her life right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you sent your word and the officials son was healed, oh God. The servant's son was healed. So, Lord, I send your word, Father God, to touch Adriana Rodriguez right now, oh God. I bind up the spirit of depression and discouragement, oh God. I bind up any spiritual inclination, oh God, to Father of destruction, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I declare her set free and delivered from any hindering spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. You are able, oh God. So, Lord, I ask that you, Father God, will give her a peace that surpasses all understanding, Father God. Father God, even, Father God, draw her into a relationship, a closer walk with you, oh God, knowing that in your presence is the fullness of joy, oh God. So, Lord, I just ask, Father God, that you will let your presence be known to her, oh God. Let your spirit reign and rule in her home and in her heart, Father God, in her mind, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray healing over her life, oh God, healing from even painful experiences, oh God, and I declare her healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you because you are able, oh God, and you do all things. You do all things with perfection, oh God. You do all things well. You do all things perfectly, oh God. So, Lord, I just thank you that you are able. You have given us power and you have given us authority, oh God. So I speak to every demon that's even, Father God, plaguing this woman, and I say, flee. In the name of Jesus, I cast out every demon spirit that's trying to come against Adriana Rodriguez. And I say, woman, thou art loose. Adriana Rodriguez, you are loose. Be free from your oppression. Be free from your affliction. Oh, God, I thank you and I praise you. And I bind up the hands of Satan right now off of your life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Lord, have your way during this broadcast. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. And again, I say hello to all of you out there who are listening to the broadcast on today. God is truly good and worthy to be praised. You know, when Tina Lane came to me and asked me, could she speak about the event that they're going to speak about later in Newark, I said yes right away. And then when I thought about it, I said, you know what? She asked me, is it okay that Pastor Tawanda speak? And I said, my God, absolutely. Because the thing about it is, this woman, Pastor Tawanda Thompson, is the visionary for actually having a community outreach in Newark and actually corroborating with other churches and coming together, having Feed the Children come, having a community outreach day where there'll be fun and food and all kinds of things going on, events going on, praise and worship in the streets, where people can hear the word of God, the preached word of God. And I said, by all means, I would love to have Pastor Tawanda Thompson come, because she is Pastor Tawanda Thompson, because she is a trendsetter, and this young woman has great vision. And not only that, but because she has an awesome testimony. So I want you to stay tuned. If you can't stay for the whole broadcast, come back and listen to the archives at blogtalkradio.com/power, blogtalkradio.com/power, because you're going to be blessed by what is shared on the broadcast on today. God wants to know, are we doing what we have been called to do? It's amazing that when Jesus was 12 years old, his mother and his father, Mary and Joseph, his earthly father, took him to Jerusalem. And when they went there and they were on their way back, they realized that Jesus wasn't with them. And Mary went, she went a little berserk. When they found him, I know she was happy to see Jesus. I could imagine her hugging him, wrapping her arms around him, and, you know, just crying tears of joy that she had found her 12-year-old son. But she asked Jesus why he had done that. You know, why would you do something like that to us, son? You had us all scared. You know, we were scared that something had happened or that we would never find you. And Jesus said, woman, you know, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And that speaks volumes to me, you know, because we're Christians, as Christians, we're not just saved to go to church on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Sunday. We're not just saved to go to church. I thought say Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or whatever day of the week you go to church. We're not saved to go to church on Saturday or Sunday or Wednesday or Tuesday. But we are saved to go forth to make disciples. So first and foremost, we're to be made disciples. And then once we have had our lives transformed by the renewing of our minds through the word of God, we're to go forth and be living epistles, to be the Bible that's read by other people, so that we now through our lives can let our light shine, so that we can be the salt of the earth, so that people can look on our lives and glorify our Father who is in heaven. So it comes down to the point is, the question I want to ask you today is your life glorifying God? When you go out into the communities, when you go from church to your house, when you interact with your husband or your husband, because this is women to women, when you interact with your husband, or for the men who listen, when you interact with your wife, do they see Jesus? When you go to work and you interact with your staff, or you interact with your colleagues or your coworkers, do they see Jesus? Do people see a difference in you? You know, I used to watch Sesame Street, and there was one of my songs that I remember was, "One of these things is not like the other. One of these things that doesn't belong. One of these things is not like the other. Can you guess which one it is?" Or something like that. But I love that song, because basically what they were teaching us is that there are some things that are different. And as Christians, we are people who are called to be different. We are a peculiar people. We're not like everybody else. We're not called to conform. We're not called to fit in. And so often we feel like square pegs trying to be put into round holes. You know, it's easy to put a round peg into a square hole, but it's very difficult to put a square peg into a round hole, because it just does not fit. And you and I, as daughters of the Most High, as sons of the Most High, for the men who are listening, we're not called to be round pegs going into square holes. We're called to be square pegs that can't fit in. We don't fit. We're peculiar people. We're a royal priesthood. God says that we are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. And when we go out into the world, Jesus said we're in this world, but we're not of the world. So when we go out into the world, we're protected by the evil in the world, because Jesus covered us in his prayer. We're protected, but we are not to be to the point where we're so far removed that people don't can't relate, and that people don't receive from us. People should receive from us wherever we go. In other words, when I go into the Pathmark, I should change the environment in Pathmark. People should see my light. You know, I should not, if there's a long line, if you go to the mall and it's a Christmas time and you're doing your last minute shopping and there's a long line, the line is going through the aisle and outside the door of the store, and you happen to be just outside the door, and then all of a sudden somebody brings up a whole bunch of stuff and they can't afford to pay for it, and the line is just stopped for an hour because now they have to take all that stuff back, or somebody disrupts things in the store, you should be the one making a difference. Now, how can you make a difference? First and foremost, by exhibiting the fruit of the spirit of patience. You know, I can wait because I'm not like I used to be. I've been changed. Amen. I used to go off. I used to get mad and walk out. But now I'm making a difference because I'm not going to curse out the people in front of me. I'm not going to, you know, get mad or be irritated standing in the line, giving off that spirit of irritation. You know, I'm making a difference. What I'm saying is the church should be making a difference. And I want to know your viewpoint. You can call in and let me know, is the church making a difference? You should. People look at the church and say, the church is not doing anything for the community. which is why I'm so happy to have the guests that I have today, because there are some people who are doing some things for the community. And then there are people who will say, well, everybody in the church is a hypocrite. They're just like me. They're out here drinking and smoking and getting high and cursing and fighting and fornicating and in adultery. And they're just like us. You know, why should I go to church? You know, and that's the question that I want to be answered on today. Why do you think people should go to church? You know, is the church making a difference in the world? Or is the world impacting the church more so than the church impacting the world? Somebody tell me. Somebody tell me. People will say that. I've heard so many things. People have told me the church is judgmental, hypocritical. And, you know, is that true? Is there any truth in that? Come on, somebody, help me out. I want to welcome everybody. I already have a couple of callers. I have a hand raised. I'm going to take this call. I want to welcome Black Free Thinkers and guest 2831 and also guest 3041 to the chat room. Tell somebody about this broadcast today. This is a very important broadcast today. Tell somebody about the broadcast. I want to welcome Kathy Ray Jones and also Minister Valerie Allen. But I have a call, amen. I have a hand raised. Welcome to the Woman to Woman broadcast. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. You're on the air, area code 773.
Hi, this is Kim from Black Free Thinkers. And
God,
I just wanted
you
to call.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I wanted to speak to you. You were asking if the church is making a difference in the community. Well, that's more subjective. It depends on what your definition of difference is. Regarding the people who are working with the, I believe you said, the Feed the Hungry Foundation, one of your callers that's calling in today, that's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. They feed the children. That's who they are. And basically, the way that I see it is you have these churches in these communities, this nonprofit 501c3, so they're not generating any revenue, any income for their immediate area. In addition to that, many of them own a lot of property that they bought for a dollar. They're not generating any revenue or taxes on the property that they own. They receive money from the congregants, so, you know, tithes and offerings. In addition to that, they're receiving the rent from the property that they own. In addition to that, if they have someone on staff writing grants, they're receiving money from the faith-based initiative. So they're taking. They're constantly taking. But what are they putting back into the community? Are they sponsoring tutorial programs? And, again, many of those programs come through faith-based initiatives or other grants provided. Let's talk about the money that you've received from the people. With the money that's been brought in by the people, what actually are they putting back into the community? I'm not talking about your members, because in many cases, the members do not live in the immediate surrounding area. Many of the members jump in their cars and go back to wherever they live, you know, whatever suburb or what have you. So my question is, what are you doing to make a difference in your immediate, you know, community? If you're getting food from the food bank, again, those are donations. I want to know what you do with the money that you're generating.
Okay, so you basically are, do you attend church?
No.
Okay, so you're basically, I'm going to say this, on the outside looking in, and what you're seeing are churches that are coming into the community, setting up mega ministries, you know, where thousands of people are coming in and out on a weekly basis, like you said, getting in their cars and going home. You mentioned one thing about the buildings being purchased for a dime or pennies. Now, we have to, I just want to make a corrective. A lot of these churches are purchasing buildings, and they are worth millions. They're paying that price for the buildings. The only thing that the 501c3 does allow is the tax exemption, so they're not paying the taxes. So I just want to make that corrective. But I want to answer your question. Now, me, personally, I don't have a mega ministry. I've been in ministry for 5 years, and I am in a community in Elizabeth, New Jersey, where there are several other smaller churches. We don't actually have a huge church in our community. So for the monies that come into the ministry, and I want to just, Kim, just try to answer your question as honestly as I can, and maybe we'll have another pastor to call in who will present that question to as well so that your question can be thoroughly answered. As far as the monies that come into our church right now, our money sustains the money that comes in through the tithes and the offerings that the people give freely. Sustain the ministry. So that's for the building up of the ministry. Once the ministry is established, our vision is outreach, that we would have a food pantry to feed the hungry. My vision personally is to have a home for teenage mothers and to have an abortion prevention center where I could actually have women come in to be counseled. I really have a vision to have a job training center where we are now. We have commercial property and we're leasing, but to have a job training program there when we leave, where people can come in to get a suit for a job interview or to learn basic job interviewing skills, to learn how to use a computer, things of that nature, how to sit through an interview without being overly nervous because we'll have practice interviews, to have a tutoring center for children that are coming from the school right down the street. So basically what we're doing for the community now with the limited resources that we do have, and I don't have a 501c3, you know, because I want to, my husband and I, our vision is to be a free church, you know, and not to be not to tax the government. I mean, so right now we do pay taxes. So, but the vision is, the vision is great, but what we can do now with the limited resources that we have, Kim, that I believe will make a difference in the community, is to take some of the people who are in the darkness of poverty or the darkness of discouragement. Or some people who may, we're in Elizabeth where there's a great, there's a high level of poverty. And a lot of these churches that you're talking about, some of them are in areas like that. But to actually reach out to the community to bring them, I mean, first and foremost, out of the darkness of sin, you know, to bring them into salvation through Christ. That's the mission of the church. That's the overall mission of the church, to bring people out of sin and to get them saved. You know, we believe in eternal life with Jesus or eternal damnation. We believe in that. So my primary mission is salvation. But then not only just to get people saved, but also to bring people into a better quality of life. You know, I've been a teenage mother. I've been pregnant at 15, a mother at 16. I've been on welfare. I've been a high school dropout, you know, having now gone to college. You know, so I've been an employee, but now I'm an entrepreneur. You know, I have 5 books. I own a publishing company. You know, I've been divorced, looking for love in all the wrong places, but now happily married to the same man for 15 years. So, you know, the mission is, our mission statement is to radically impact lives, families, and communities to the glory of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, that's our portable mission, to make a difference in the lives of people so that now people's quality of life can change. And how do we change it? You know, Einstein once said that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting to get different results.
The same.
So the overall. Yes, Kim.
Yeah, go ahead. No, what I was going to say, just going back to what you had stated originally, quite a few of them do get property for a dollar, and even though some of them do purchase property for millions of dollars, again, to me, that's just an extension of the pastor's ego, and that's just another story. But I used to go to church. I no longer go to church because not so much. But going back to what you're saying about how you want to build up the self-esteem of, you know, members, congregants, and
community
people. Yeah, well, the quality of life, their self-esteem, self-confidence, and, you know, just in general. Well, I guess my question is, how can you build up a person's self-esteem, yet in the same breath tell them that they're wretched and that they're a filthy rag in God's eyes? Because the God that's in you all for this is a schizophrenic God. you know, on one hand, because in Isaiah 45 and 7, it says that he created both good and evil. So if he created
right.
both good and evil, then he created his own problem. So how is he angry or going to punish his people when he created his own issues?
That's not the gospel, Kim. That's not
go
the gospel.
Isaiah 45 and 7. Go to Isaiah 45 and 7. Look it up.
Yeah, listen to me. That's not the gospel. You can go into the Bible, close your eyes, point your finger, and find a piece of scripture, and if it's taken out of context, it will be bad news. But, Kim, the gospel, and you know because you used to go to church, the gospel is good news. That's not the gospel. The gospel, John 3:16, God so loved the world. He loves us. God doesn't consider you to be wretched. I mean, he doesn't like your sin. If you're in sin, he doesn't like the fact that we're in sin, that we're, you know, not only sin is destruction. It's self-destruction. You know,
but
and anything
how are
that
you
we
in
look
sin
at.
He created it. He created it. He created all. So if you are in sin, he created it. And then also if Jesus went to the cross to fulfill the curse, how are you still in sin?
When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then your curse is broken. You're not under a curse anymore.
So if the curse is broken, then you're not in sin. So why do you all always focus on
you're not. No, listen to me. Let me help you. I'm going to help you with this. Because the thing about it is if the curse is broken, we can still sin. Do you know what sin is?
Anything that your church pastor doesn't like.
No, honey. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at you. But see, I see what has happened. You have sat under the wrong church pastor. See, I
no,
see what
I've
has
been
happened.
Pretty much consistent across the board.
Okay, what has to happen is we have to go to the Word of God and begin to break down the Word of God and see the heart of God. And we can sit, unfortunately, we can have this conversation. And you and I will be talking about probably two different things because then you have the natural and then you have the spiritual. And see, with the Holy Spirit, and because you have church experience, I know that you know about the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, we're able to have a greater understanding of the mind of God. Now, the mind of God and the mind of man are two totally different things. Because God tells us that his ways and his thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts. And there are a lot of times, Kim, when man will take what's God's and corrupt it. And that happens,
so
you know,
you
so
know
often that people
God,
actually
because
get
the Bible
hurt.
Was written by man. So how do you know it to be true? It was written by man to control others. The Bible wasn't written from God. I mean, if we're going to use you all's logic, he used his finger to write the Ten Commandments. So why didn't he write the Bible? Why didn't he type that up?
Yes. Again, that's the natural. Okay, that's the natural looking at the spiritual because in the spiritual we know that the Word was inspired by God. All scripture, and that's in the Bible. You know, when you go to the Bible, it says all scripture was inspired by God. It was is God breathed. So he uses man, just like he uses man to preach the gospel, just like he uses man to prophesy, just like he uses man to pastor. God uses man, but we should be led by the Spirit, Kim. And see, what happens is when people begin to be led by their flesh, which is, it happens a lot in church. I'm not arguing with you. It happens a lot in church. And when we allow ourselves to be led by the flesh, then the things of God which are holy and pure become corrupted. And that's why the world, people who don't go to church, look at us and they say, what's going on in the church? You know, that's a bunch of mess. You know, like I was saying earlier, there are reports that people are saying that there's nothing but hypocrites in the church, that they're the biggest sinners. People will say sometimes that some of the people in the church are the biggest sinners. But let me tell you, we're no longer, when we're saved by grace, because we're saved by grace through faith, there's nothing I can do to get saved but through the blood of Jesus Christ. When we receive Jesus Christ, we're saved. But the thing about people will say, what is the difference between me and them? The difference is I'm saved, you know, and through the Holy Spirit, God said in Ezekiel 36, he said, I will give you a new spirit and a new heart and move you to obey my commandments. I can't do it in the natural. I can't do right
in the natural. You know, there are things that I used to do that I don't do anymore, and I take no credit for it. That's why I say there's the natural and there's the spirit. If I look at the natural and say, I'm going to stop smoking this reefer. I used to smoke reefer. I want to stop smoking this reefer. I want to stop sleeping with these men that are not my husband because I'm tired. I'm going to stop because there's something in me that's saying it's wrong. I'm going to stop stealing. I'm going to stop lying. You know, and I say I'm going to stop in the natural, but in the natural, it's almost impossible to do some of the things that you've been used to doing and accustomed to doing. But when you get saved through Jesus Christ, you get the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and now God is moving you to obey his commandments. So,
so you're saying that people who are in church have no self-control.
People who are
no self-control,
no
discipline, because that's what it takes to not participate in detrimental or counterproductive or sociopathic tendencies. It takes self-control. Exactly.
I got it. That's true, Kim. I agree. There are people in church that have no self-control, and that's because they haven't developed the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, if you look at 5:22, it starts talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and also the fruit that the Holy Spirit comes to develop in the life of a believer. So through the fruit of the Spirit, now we're one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, temperance. So because of that, there are a lot of carnal Christians. There are a lot of people in church who have no self-control. You're absolutely right. I agree with you.
And
I agree with you.
Thank you. You know, but in that case, you know, if you're conceding that point, then I guess my question is, why is it that not all, but some of the people, because I've seen some of these people in these churches, and you all have a lot of bipolar and schizophrenic people running around these churches. But the Bible is used, they use the Bible in order to suppress their sociopathic and pathological behaviors. So I guess my question is that a lot of it could be codependency transference. So if someone was participating in sex, drugs, alcohol, gambling, what have you, then they come to the church and they stop that other behavior because they've transferred that missing piece, that, you know, need, want, desire, they've transferred it to the church. When they are done with the church or walk away from the church, in many cases, they return back to that same behavior. So it's a transference of those particular tendencies or those behaviors. So was that person actually ever really saved?
I agree with the first part of your statement. Yeah, we transfer it to God. You know, we give him our burdens, we give him our cares, we give him our sins, and we don't have to carry that stuff anymore. So you're right. There are a lot of sick people that come to the church, and we have a couple callers too, so I'm going to pick up a couple more callers. But we have a lot of sick people that come to the church, and they come just because of that, because they are sick. Yeah, there are a lot of bipolar people all over the world. But thank God they're coming to the church because, as I was saying earlier, the difference that the church primarily makes is to make a difference in the lives of those who will come and in the lives of those that they can reach in the community. Like, if I can change my life, then in turn, and this is witness, I'm going to witness to you for a minute, this is what has happened to me. My life has been changed through God, through the church. I never wanted to go to church, so everybody in the church was hypocrite, said I was going to hell from the bar stool and not the church pew. That was my spin on it because it just seemed like everybody in the church was doing exactly what I was doing. Couldn't understand why people would go to church on a weekly basis. But when I had an encounter with Jesus Christ, like Paul did, you know, Paul had that Damascus Road experience where his life was totally changed. When I had that type of experience with Jesus Christ, my life became transformed. And it wasn't me. I knew it wasn't me and Kim. I knew it was supernatural. And my life became transformed. And because of that, I changed. And as a result of that, my family changed. My mother, my sisters, my brother, my children, my husband. And now I'm able to be happy in some situations where I wasn't happy. I was able to get the pain out of my heart. So maybe I did transfer some things to God. You know, I just said, okay, God, you take this because I don't want to carry it anymore. Unforgiveness and bitterness and anger, all of that stuff. Yeah, I transferred it right into the Lord because he could carry it. So, yeah, so now my community has, my family changed, and now my community is changing. That's all I do, Kim, is give myself away. You know, I write books. I do ministry for women. I do this broadcast to give myself away to say, you know what, Jesus worked for me in my life. Jesus changed my life, totally changed my life. I believe. Faith is faith. It's just that. It doesn't make sense. It's just faith. I believe, and because I believe, I've been changed, and I know I've been changed. And as far as going back, when you really have tasted and seen how real God is and how great God is, you really don't want to go back. It's hard to go back when you have something so good. You know, when something is so good, it's hard to say, you know what, I'm going back to what was bad. I'm going back to what wasn't working for me before. But people do leave the church. I'm not saying people don't leave the church. But people do leave the church. Kim, I'm so blessed by you calling in. We have about three more hands raised. If you want to stay with us, I would love to have you stay with us. I really enjoyed talking to you today, and I just thank you for calling me.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I wanted to counter what you said just real quick, a quick counterpoint. Basically, when they some stay in the church and still participate in those behaviors, the issue is getting to the root of the problem. And in many cases, you have under or unqualified people trying to help people in distress. And what I don't understand is how the church frowns upon, number one, intellectualism, and number two, mental health care. In many cases, you know, they can't just cast their cares, you know, on Jesus or, you know, give it all to Jesus or give it all to God. They need help, and in some cases, they need medication. And that goes from the pulpit to the pulpit.
I agree that we should seek professional counseling when necessary. I agree.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Amen. God bless you, my sister. Good talking to you. Call me anytime. And why don't you, just touch base with me from time to time. Let's keep in touch.
Yes, ma'am. I shall. You take care.
You too. God bless you. Amen. We have another hand raised. I love that call from Kim from Black Free Thinkers. Amen. It was a blessing to have her with us on today. Let's take another call. Area code, I don't know if this person is ready to be on the air, but their hand is raised. Amen. Area code 862. We have Pastor Tawanda Thompson with us. And also we have another hand raised. Area code 973 is area code 973. Who do we have on area code 973?
If that's me, Minister Valerie Allen. God bless you, Pastor Rebecca Simmons. How are you today?
Amen. God bless
Amen.
You.
Listen, Amen. Let everything that have breath praise you, the Lord, on this day. I just want to thank you so much. This is a powerful show on today. When Sister Kim was talking and went back to us when we had the broadcast on June 11, remember the topic we had, why can't I stop sinning when I know God, why can't I stop sinning when I know it pleases God? I just want to bring that back to attention. She's welcome to go back to the archive on June 11, 2011. Maybe that will help her to answer the question. We gave us about specific six points with regard to the lust of the flesh is the reason why people are not still able to stop sinning. And then, you know, point two, I gave a sample of my book, you know, talking about myself. And then point three, we was talking about being a new creature. Many have not come into the reality of walking into the new creature and take God's in his way. And also the point four was regeneration, renewal, rebirth, and restoration is a process. And then we talked about point five, being perfected unto the return of Christ, which came from 1 John 1 through 8. Then we also tied in, by the grace of God, the Ten Commandments in Exodus 21 through 17. And also our final point was Jesus without sin. Jesus was the only one that the Bible talks about who took on sin without sinning. So if we can just have Sister Kim go back to the archives on June 11, maybe that will also help her to answer questions. But I also thank you, Pastor Rebecca, for taking on this topic on today, because once we have Pastor Tawan and Sister Tina Lane comes in, of course, you know I have a word from the Lord as often in regard tying into the specific subject of today's matter. But, you know, I just want to thank God. You know, okay, I'm sorry, Pastor Rebecca.
Amen.
You know,
praise the Lord.
Oftentimes, we want to be challenged with the Word of God, but I want to thank you so much for being so gracious, you know, to Sister Kim. So maybe that archive will bless her.
Of course. That's my sister, you know, and I love her. And the thing about it is we have to be able to talk to people about what we believe. You know, the Bible said always be ready to give an offense for what defense for what you believe. You know, always be ready to let people know what you believe and why you believe. And if you can't do that, speaking in plain English, you know, letting people know what you believe and why you believe, then we just need to just go and really get in the face of God so that we can get a clearer understanding of why we're walking with Jesus. Why are we walking with Jesus?
Amen.
You know, it makes a difference in our lives. And are we making a difference in the lives of the people that we encounter? So, you know, to God be the glory. And
Amen.
I'm just so glad that she took the time to listen and to call in.
Amen.
You know,
absolutely.
Again, God loves us all. You know, so many times the word is preached, you know, that people are wretched. And, you know, we preach a hellfire and brimstone gospel like that's the only gospel. That's the only part of the gospel. Yes, it is part of the gospel. There is a heaven and there is a hell. But the Bible is so profound, and there's so much good news in the Bible.
Yes,
and that's where we see Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. The plan for God is so great for us.
You know, so
I just thank God for that. But I do have Pastor Tawana Thompson here. And I want to put it on
Pastor Becker,
just
real quick, it just come to mind. Well, you know, just remind me what Paul said. It is true. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's, as you said, it's by the grace of God, as yet we are yet saved even today. So bless you. Amen.
Amen. Because the sister made a very good point. There go I, but by the grace of God.
By the grace of God.
You know, so we have to stay rooted and grounded. And she said one thing, people still leave the church and then they go back to their same ways.
That's right.
That they used to have. Exactly. That's why we shouldn't leave the church. Amen.
Amen.
We got to stay connected. Let me put
Amen. Bless God. Bless you.
Yeah, God bless you. Stay with me, Minister Valerie Allen.
Absolutely, amen.
I want to answer some. We have a caller today, and she has her hand raised. Pastor Tawana Thompson, and she is the pastor of Truth Ministries International, 280 Clinton Place, North New Jersey. And the topic of the day was inspired by her because she has collaborated with some local pastors to come in and make a difference in the community in Newark, New Jersey. That's where I grew up. So I thank God that she agreed to come and be with us today. And she is here with us on today. And I want to just go ahead and put her on the air and introduce everyone to Pastor Tawana Thompson. God bless you, Pastor. Welcome to Women to Women.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I logged on early because I was listening to the conversation you were having with Sister Kim and was really blessed to hear the response and quite interested in Sister Kim's view. So I didn't just get on to talk about my outreach, but I will do that. But if you don't mind, a couple of seconds just to kind of piggyback off of what you and Sister Kim were discussing?
Yes, please.
Okay. I was listening to Sister Kim. I think she's a phenomenal young lady who has a lot of information. And as my other sister said, you were very gracious in handling the conversation. And like you said, we should always be ready and willing to be able to defend our faith and why we believe what we believe. And one of the things that got my attention about what Sister Kim was saying was that we use the church to hide behind bipolar and schizophrenic behaviors in the church, as well as she felt as though we didn't have any self-control. And one of the things is it's not so much that we don't have self-control. I think a lot of people do, but some of the things that we're up against take more than self-control, because if it was just about self-control, we would have been able to stop. Now, our version of helping people through that is the Holy Spirit. The world version is giving people drugs to suppress it. I mean, I'd rather take something that I don't have to be dependent upon and it will teach me how to manage myself than to be dependent upon the drugs that they give me to suppress what I'm feeling. Because the Holy Spirit does not suppress it, the Holy Spirit removes it and causes it to be done with in a lot of cases. And so I would agree that we do have a lot of different kind of behavioral issues in the church, but we have different kind of behavioral issues everywhere. And we all have to be taught how to manage those behavioral issues. And the behavioral issues stem from sin. From the beginning. And so if we want to look at what the issues are initially and always will be and has been because of the stain of sin, because we were born in sin, which causes us to have some of these issues that we do have in our life. And so I commend Sister Kim for making some observations, and it is some things that we need to consider in the church, and that's why it's important that we preach Jesus so that people understand that this is the solution. Not a temporary solution, but a permanent solution to their issues. So I can appreciate Sister Kim's stand, and I can definitely respect your stance, Pastor Rebecca, on the view as far as how we handle things in the church. So it was definitely a great moment in your airtime. I thought it was great that you spent that time with that sister. So it was phenomenal.
Amen. Well, she's still here. She's listening. I see Sister Kim in the chat room. And she did make a point, and while she's still here, I want to have you address the scripture that she gave us, Isaiah 45:7. That was very important to her because she actually mentioned it, and I actually opened up my Bible to actually go to that scripture. Isaiah 45:7, it says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. And she was saying, you know, how can God come down on us so hard about evil, about sin, and he's the one who created it? Do you have a response to that at all? I was just curious.
Absolutely. I don't believe that God comes down on us so hard about the evil that we indulge in. What he does not do is come down hard on us. What happens is people who do not understand the power of love in correction is what makes the emphasis or causes it to look like God is being so harsh to us about the evil that we do. If he did not know, the Bible says we were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and the key here is that he gave us an advocate, someone who defends and stands up for us. And so it's not that he comes down so hard on us concerning sin. He knows that we are going to sin. But the scripture also says, shall we continue in sin? And so we are, as long as we're in this flesh, we're always going to have situations and circumstances that's going to cause us to walk outside of the laws of God because we are flesh. And as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to do things that might go against the will of God. Because the Bible says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not. So that means that there is a chance that we might sin against him. But if we do, we have an advocate. We have an opportunity to go back to him. So he's not so hard on the fact that we have indulged on it. I think the ignorance and sometimes the inability for people to relay God's heart to people in the way that he would causes it to come across sometimes more harshly. As you said earlier, Pastor Rebecca, there's more to the word of God than fire and brimstone messages. But the church has held on to that for so long, and they have missed out on the meat that God said, with loving kindness have I drawn.
So
we've got to get back to that loving kindness drawing and not so much to that beating people over the head, you're a sinner, you did this, you did that. Most people already know that, and it's not to dilute the word, but it is to make sure that people understand that even though we have sinned and we have fallen short, that we do have an advocate and we can get back to God. So I really think it's about teaching people how to preach Jesus in love, as well as helping them understand that there are consequences to everything that we do in life, right, wrong, and or indifferent.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I thank you so much for that, Pastor. I just want to say to Kim, while you're still listening, that the Lord
still wants to be in relationship with you. You know, I know you're not on the phone anymore, but I would be, you know, remiss if I didn't tell you that the Lord still wants to be in relationship with you. And whatever hurt that you've encountered in the church, you know, God wants to heal that. You know, He wants to heal that. And it's not about being in relationship with man or being under the God or worshiping a pastor. But it's about being in relationship with God. God is a God of relationship. That's why He sent Jesus, so that the gap could be breached, you know, because sin was the thing that breached the gap between man and God. And Jesus came to, sin was the thing that created the gap between man and God. And Jesus came to breach the gap. So, Kim, God loves you. I don't know what they've told you, other pastors have told you.
Amen.
But God loves you, and He still wants to be in relationship with you. And, you know, for any pastor that's hurt you, I stand in the gap, and I apologize, you know, for any church hurt that you may have encountered. I don't know if you have or not, but I personally apologize, because I know that God loves you and that He wants to be in relationship with you. And with that mind that He is giving you, with the intellect and the ability to see things and discern, I know that the Lord wants to continually use that for His glory. You know, so I just encourage you to think again, you know, about your relationship with God. Amen. God be the glory. Pastor Tawana, welcome again to Women to Women. I tell you, we've been missing each other. We're right 20 minutes away from each other. And you're right in Newark, and I'm in Elizabeth, and I know you're doing the great work down there, and I just thank God for you. I would like you to just share thought with a little bit of your testimony, who you are, what you do, why you do what you do, you know, where God saved you from, and just go into what He has called you to do and what you're doing with the outreach. I want to just open up for you to just begin to speak about that.
Amen. I thank you so much, Pastor Rebecca. We have just keep passing each other, and I believe that everything is done in the timing of God, so we thank God for the timing. But I am a little girl from New York City, born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, raised in Queens, and used to sell drugs, run gangs, and do all those things that I was big enough to do and not so big enough to do. Was brought up in a family of alcoholics and drug addicts, know what it is to be raped, molested, and all of those things. Even after coming to the church and having to go through some things that I had to go through in church, I believe all of that was from my making and for what God has called me into in this season of my life. I'm now pastoring here. I've been here in New Jersey 15 years. Been pastoring the local church for 4 years, Truth Ministries International. And my ministry is predominantly geared towards youth, young adults, women, and the community. And so one of the things that I've been doing for the last few years has been working with young women and young men on a number of different things that may take place in their life. One of my main focuses in ministry is, which is a taboo in the church, which is also probably another discussion that will come up a little later on, I'm pretty sure. I deal with young women who are coming out of the lifestyle of lesbianism and homosexuality. And so I have a ministry that I minister directly and personally to these individuals. Just for the record, my church is not filled with lesbians and homosexuals, but that is a portion of ministry that is dear to my heart because they have rehab for alcoholics, they have rehab for drug addicts, they even have places that preachers can go when they fall, but they don't have a place of refuge for homosexuals and lesbians who really want to be delivered, amen, from the lifestyle of sin. And the Bible makes it very clear to me that not only does He deliver liars, He can deliver lesbians. Not only can He heal a fornicator, but He can also heal a homosexual. And so that place is very dear to me. So that is something that I work very diligently in, as well as working in the community. And that's why we're here, because the Lord this year placed in my heart and in my spirit to reach into the community here on Clinton Place, where I am on Clinton Place. There's so many things going on around this particular little area on Lyons Avenue and on Chancellor Avenue and on Clinton Avenue and on Springfield Avenue and all of these different places. But it seems that Clinton Place has been forgotten. But I believe that the Lord has placed us on Clinton Place because he has not forgotten Clinton Place. And so we're here to encourage them. And so what the Lord laid on my heart this year to do was to block off Clinton Place from Renner to Lehigh. And we are going to block off the street, and we're going to bring in music and entertainment. We're bringing Feed the Children, 18-wheeler truck, and we're going to feed over 600 families right here on Clinton Place on July 23rd. And then we are going to have a day filled with fun, food, excitement, information, instruction, and inspiration on that day. We partnered with Pastor Edward Allen from Philemon Baptist Church and Pastor Kevin Greenwood from Morningstar Baptist Church. And so the three of us have partnered together, and we want to bring Jesus to the community. And one of the things that we recognize the Bible says is, if you love me, feed my sheep. And I believe that it's not only done in the spirit, but it's also done in the natural. And so we want to make sure that we meet the needs of the people, because if they're hungry, they can't hear you. So we want to meet the need. We want to make sure that we plant the seed, and we also know that God will bring the increase. So I believe this is going to be the beginning of something great for this local community, and we're looking for God to get all of the glory out of it.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe he will. You know, and this is so powerful. Meet the need and then plant the seed, you know, and God will work. So often, like you said, people are hungry. They can't hear you. So that is just powerful. Now, what was it that, like you said, Clinton Place seems to be like the least likely place that there will be outreach taking place. Now, was that your primary motivation for doing this outreach?
Absolutely. The primary, when I moved here, I moved into this building going on 4 years now. And when I first moved into, came into this community to look for property, the owner of the property asked me, why did I come to Clinton Place and who was going to be the pastor? That particular day I had probably had on my ball cap and a T-shirt, so I'm not quite sure if he knew who I was. And so I said, well, I'm the pastor. He said, but you're a woman. Do you know that this is Clinton Place? I said, well, yes, sir. I'm very aware that this is Clinton Place, and I'm very aware that I'm a woman. I said, but that never stopped God from doing anything. And so when I saw Clinton Place, I saw a place where God could really move, and it was an ideal place for outreach, which is my one of my major passions, is to really reach into the community. I saw so many children and great opportunity to bring the gospel to people who probably would not normally walk into church. And so my heart was to always bring the church to them since they would not come to church.
Wow, that's powerful. Now, we have Kim still in the chat room, and she's and you mentioned it yourself that there would be another topic of discussion when you mentioned homosexuality. And Kim says that there are lesbians, there are homosexuals in every church.
That's
and right. Then she says there's no such thing as deliverance for most homosexuals. It's not a choice. Homosexuality is not a choice. And she wants to know, former lesbian.
I am a former lesbian, Kim.
Oh.
Pastor Tawana Thompson is a former lesbian. I was in the lifestyle for many years, and that's why it is a major part of my ministry. And I know that there is deliverance because I'm living, walking proof that there is deliverance from homosexuality and lesbianism. I walk it, I live it, I breathe it every single day. My life is an open book to the church, which has probably been an issue in the church because it was never a secret. It was always a part of my testimony, which most times caused people to shun because they weren't quite sure whether or not God is able to deliver a homosexual or a lesbian. The reality of it is when God created me, he created me female. He didn't make any mistakes in doing so. I did make a choice as to whether or not I was going to sleep with women or whether I was going to sleep with men. But the reality of it is I don't suppress it. I acknowledged it. I brought it to God, and he removed the desire for it out of my life. So it's not suppressed. It has absolutely been canceled out of my life.
Amen.
And I am a living testimony that God can deliver a lesbian like he does a liar.
Yes. My goodness. So homosexuality is not a choice.
It's not a choice.
Homosexuality is a choice.
So you're
testifying that homosexuality as a former homosexual, I don't know, Pastor Twyman, help me out here. Is it right to call people homosexuals, or is it better to say that they're in a homosexual lifestyle?
Well, I guess it depends on the person. Honestly, I think it's a personal issue for people. I'm not a politically correct person. I call sin
because
sin.
Because what you said was God makes you woman, so God does not make homosexuals, right?
No. Homosexuality is a spirit. There is a spirit attached to homosexuality. Let me explain, and let me say this to Sister Kim and to those that are listening. One of the things that I think we forget, and maybe this is something that most people don't acknowledge, and when you read the Bible says that there was a war in a woman's womb between good and evil. You had two brothers. One was good, one happened to be bad. There was a war constantly going on. And the Bible makes it very clear to us that even growing up, if we listen to our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents, if we want to keep it natural for a second, you know how they say when you see babies smiling and they're blinking and they assume that babies are playing with angels. Just like people assume that you have angels that's assigned to your life when you are born into this world. If you have angels assigned to your life, know that there are demonic spirits waiting for you too.
Amen.
Okay.
That's the truth.
Because if that is the case, if it be truth, if this is what people honestly believe, that there are angels assigned to your life, then you also have to know that there are demonic spirits that have been assigned to your life. Now, the thing with this is we've got to understand that when we were born into sin, because that is what the scripture says, understand that sin comes along with demonic spirits. Okay? And so whatever demonic spirit has been assigned to your life, just like angels have been assigned to your life, just like you were born with gifts and talents, you're also born into sin, which accompanies demonic activity and demonic spirits and demonic forces. And so as a child, it is going to be necessary for your parents to train you and to teach you. This is why the Bible says train the child in the way it should go, and when he or she is old, they will not depart from it. So therefore, if you have to be trained in the things of God, you also have to be trained in things that are not of God. So therefore, there is a balance, and you have to understand that demonic spirits, whether it be homosexuality, whether it be alcoholism, some babies are born with alcohol in their system, just like they're born with cigarettes in their system and things of that nature. But it's not that they're necessary. They can overcome that as a child, and they never have to be an alcoholic. They never have to be a drug addict. If they are trained in the spirit realm, how to deal with what they may have been born into.
My God.
So you can train an individual how to live in the things of God, and you can train an individual how to live in sin. It is the choice. That's why he gave us free will. So, no, I don't believe we were born that way. I believe we were born into sin, and if we were born with angels waiting for us, then we're born with demons waiting for us too.
Yeah.
If that be true.
Yeah. I agree with that. And that is so powerful. Do you know that's the most powerful argument that I've heard of against people being born into homosexuality? But it also validates the argument that people will say, well, I was born this way. Because
mm-hmm.
you were born to sin. And there was, like you said, there was that sin demon, whether it be homosexuality or lust or alcoholism or drug addiction, that's attached to your life, that's assigned to you. And if your parents are in iniquity, then something's going to pass down through the line, which answers Kim's next question, was like, how are homosexuals having homosexual children? You know, well, first and foremost, homosexuals are not having children. You know, they're getting children by any means they necessary. But the thing about it is they're training up. That's what you said, Pastor. They're training that child up in the way that they should go. Like my daughter has a mother and a father who are happily married, and when she was 5 years old, she looked at us and said, "Mommy, when I get big, how do I get a job? And how do I get a house, Mommy? And how do I get a car? And Mommy, how do I get a husband?" You know, and these are things that she saw her parents with,
mm-hmm.
and she wanted them because she was being trained up in these things. So by the same token, somebody who's being trained up with a parent who sells drugs, or a parent who's in a homosexual lifestyle, or a parent who is spending their life in jail, will grow up and think that that is the pattern that their life has to follow because that's what they're being taught. That's what they're being trained up in. So now, again, goes back to our question, how is the church effective? And it comes all the way back to what you said, Pastor, about training the child up, transforming the individual, teaching them, like Kim, you said, Kim, and I see you, Kim, you said if homosexuality, you said homosexuality is a choice, you said so is heterosexuality, and so is asexual being a choice. You choose, you do choose whether you're going to sleep with a woman, if you're a woman or a man, or whether you're going to be a child molester or a rapist. Like you said, the decision is yours. The choice is yours, and you have to choose good. God said, "I set before you life and death. Choose life. You know, good and evil is ever present, but we have to choose good versus evil, or what versus what we know God, what we know is wrong in God's eyes." So I didn't know that testimony, Pastor Tawana. The Lord is good. Who knew what God would do, how he would minister on this broadcast on today? So to God be glory for deliverance. And yes, there is such thing as deliverance.
Yes,
hallelujah.
It is.
Thank God for deliverance. I've been delivered. Anybody been delivered? I mean, I've
Amen.
Been hearing people
been delivered.
All over the United States, because it's so wonderful to be delivered. I was delivered
Absolutely.
From whoredom, you know,
Amen.
Sleeping with men who were not my husband, you know.
Right.
So I know what it's like to be delivered, you know. We all
Absolutely.
Have something, you know, but we now got to know that God can handle everything.
Absolutely.
There's nothing
Absolutely.
He can't handle.
Absolutely. Now, Pastor Rebecca, one of the things that I try to give people an understanding of, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do people, and when they say renewing, that is not a suppressing, that's a change.
Yes.
Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so, again, and how do you do that? By applying the word that God has given us to our minds on a consistent daily basis. And so the Bible says when you think on these things, and when you think on those good, those things that are good and those things that are pleasant and those things that are pure, you've got to get to that point in your life where when you recognize that there's something else greater than where I am, you begin to think differently. You begin to see things differently. And so one of the things I recognize that when I began to see myself the way God saw me, then I began to understand that the lifestyle that I was living was not the lifestyle that he had for my life. And so when I began to renew my mind according to his word, then deliverance came into my life. And I began, you know, I'm a movie watcher, and I'm a quit with this because this is not about the outreach. But there's a movie that I watched called The Matrix. And The Matrix in that particular movie was a young man by the name of Neo. And when he met his trainer, his name was Morpheus. And Morpheus told him, when you take this pill, you're going to go into a situation and you're not going to be able to come back from. He said, so you get to make a decision. It's either you want it or you don't. He decided he wanted this change. And he said, when he connected him to this computer, and when they stood up in this particular computer setting, he said, this is a residual image of yourself, how you see yourself in your mind. And what we've got to do is we've got to begin to see a residual image of ourselves as God sees us. Because he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So when I begin to see myself in the mindset that God sees me, because now I have his mind, he doesn't see me as a lesbian. He sees me as the woman of God I am today. That means I overcome what I may have been born into.
And so when people begin to understand the whole idea of renewing your mind, it is definitely it takes a spiritual mind, not a carnal mind, not a medical mind. It takes a spiritual mind, because the Bible says a carnal mind cannot comprehend spiritual things. And so there are some things we'll never be able to defend or to express that would make it clear until you experience it. And I happen to experience it, so therefore I understand it.
Amen. Well, definitely. And you have definitely brought clarity to a lot of our listeners on today. And I just thank you for being so transparent. Like you said, transparency in the pulpit is frowned upon. But I believe it's just so necessary, because how can people relate even to what we're saying if we don't relate to where they are? How can they relate to what we're saying if we can't relate to what they're living and where they are? You know, and if we're constantly frowning on people and coming down harshly on people and calling them all kinds of names across the pulpit, in my opinion, that's ineffective for the kingdom of God, and God cannot get any glory out of that. So I appreciate your ministry, Pastor Thompson. I really, truly do. And we have to connect. I tell you, I know nothing happens by chance. And Tina is a connector. She goes all over the place. And
that is my sister.
Just know, amen. Amen. She talks about you all of the time. I'm waiting for her to come. She said she would be here after 2, and she hasn't arrived yet. But I just thank God for you and your testimony. And, you know, we are talking about how the church can make a difference in the community outreach that you're doing. And with this broadcast, the Women to Women Show, we talk, you know, as you can see, and it's a platform for us to bring understanding. Believers and unbelievers are here today, and I just thank God for that. That is a platform to bring understanding to people who may not have any understanding about why we do what we do with such zeal and fervor. So, to God be the glory, you know, to God be the glory. What is it that you, the question was asked earlier about what is it that the church is doing in the community other than this outreach and the things that you've already shared with us about reaching out to the young people in your community, not even other than, how do you do it? You know, how do you, because, you know, a lot of times we go to church and we walk by people and they, either we don't speak to them or they don't really want to be bothered with the people that are going in and out of the churches. How do you effectively impact your community?
Well, one of the things, Pastor Rebecca, is I talk to people, period. I find that no matter where I go, Pastor Rebecca, it looks like people just speak. And coming from a family that has taught me just how to be, it's nice to be nice. It's just nice to be nice. And along when I got saved and I came into the knowledge of who Jesus was, my nice to be nice just broadened nice to be nice. And so I don't just see these people when I come to church. I'm here and I speak to them in the community. I'm here standing outside talking and conversating with them, and I don't make them, I don't approach them as though I'm better or greater. I greet the brothers. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you, man. What's going on? Because I don't care what you say. Sinners are people too. They have souls.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of treating them with respect and not looking down your nose or have this persona about you that you're greater or better. And so I let people know, Rev is here, but the reality of it is Rev don't have no problem standing outside having a conversation with me and not having to preach to me. Sometimes it's just, how was your day? What's going on? You know, what's happening in your life? You know, tell me, you know, how you doing today? What's going on? Why are you standing out here? You know, and just saying hello sometimes makes the difference. And not saying hello with a look on your face like, why are you standing on this corner with nothing to do? So just trying to be the Bible says we're in the world but not of it. I don't have to partake in what you do, but I do have to acknowledge that you're here and I communicate and I take time to talk with them. On Sunday mornings, they drop their drugs and they come in and sit in the sanctuary for 2 hours and hear the word. Even if they go back to the drugs, the seed has been planted.
Yeah.
And so I make it my business, Pastor Rebecca, to speak to people, to walk down the street, even when there's nothing going on at my church that particular day. I'm here, and I make myself visible. And one of the things that I do is I don't just clean up in front of my church. I clean up in front of my neighbor's house. And I don't just get my car washed. I get their car washed. Or if I'm at the supermarket, I don't always just pay for my food. I might pay for somebody else's food. I'm in the candy store, and I'm looking at a kid who's trying to count his change, and he may not know how to count, and he may want something else, and he don't have enough. Giving him a quarter to give him a bag of chips or a juice to go along with the chips because all he had enough for was the juice or the chips. You know, it's just little things like that that I think makes the difference in the community. One of the other things that I do is I serve breakfast and lunch to the kids and the adults in the community Monday through Friday from July to September through the summer program. And I do that breakfast and lunch, and I do that every single year. And what I don't, you know, and I make sure that, you know, all of the kids know about it. And this year I wasn't going to do it, but when I walked into the school, the kids said, "Are you going to do the program this year?" So I was like, "Well, Lord, you know, I got to find a way to do it." So it's really about understanding that, if, as you all said earlier in the program, had it not been for the grace of God, there go I.
Yeah. Yeah,
and growing up on welfare and not having and going without, I can relate to where they are, and I let them know I know where you are, I know where you've been. I don't come outside with my clergy collar. I go outside with my jeans and my sneakers, my T-shirt and my cap on and talk to people. Most people don't even know I'm Reverend until I open my mouth and have a conversation.
Yes, and, you know, it's just so much is going on, even as you're speaking, even in the chat room, and I see Sister Kim, I'm going to have her on just to have a dialogue with her and have some callers come in to talk to her, because she has so much going on in the ways of questions, you know, about what the church can do and so many suggestions. And we're doing that. You know, a lot of churches, I just want to say, are doing so much. And as you hear Pastor Tawana Thompson talking, her ministry is 5 years old. And already she talked about the personal impact that she's making as the pastor, you know, in the community on a daily basis, not just trying to get people into the church, but taking the church to the people. So I commend you, Pastor Tawana Thompson, and that's a powerful, powerful testimony as to the goodness and the power, the magnificence of God, the glory of God, that your life has been changed, and because you have been given much, you are giving much. And again, I'm looking forward to connecting with you in the future. Let us have a date of the community outreach. Again, let us know exactly what you're doing. Give us the dates and how we can come out and be a part. And if anybody wants to even sow into that particular ministry, how they can do so. And give us the name and address of your church.
All right. Let's start off. The name of the ministry is called Truth Ministries International, and we're located at 280 Clinton Place in Newark, New Jersey. The event that we're doing is called the Greater Clinton Place Outreach, and it is a day filled with fun, activity, music, inspiration, information, and instruction. We're going to have Essex County Welfare here, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield, Newark Now, Fathers Now programs. We're going to have all kinds of information that is going to benefit the community. The date for that event is going to be July 23rd, 2011, and it's going to be held right on Clinton Place between Renner Avenue and Lehigh Avenue. And we are going to also be sponsoring Feed the Children. They'll be here with the 18-wheeler truck. We're going to be feeding 600 families. And all you need to do in order to be a part of those 600 families, because that's all we have to feed on this particular event, 600 families, in order to get that food, you have to register at one of the three churches, which is my church, Truth Ministries International, 280 Clinton Place in Newark, New Jersey. You can call the number 862-201-6000. 6684, or you can reach out to Pastor Edward Allen at Philemon Baptist Church, or Pastor Kevin Greenwood at Morningstar Baptist Church, all right on Clinton Place. So if you can, if you will, if you want to be a part, if you are a vendor and you want to bring your information and set up a table and be a part of this event, you are more than welcome to do that. You just need to call one of those three numbers, and you can contact one of us, and we will make arrangements for you to have your table set up that you might be able to advertise your business, your ministry, or anything like that. We need as much help as we can get. We got 92 volunteers. We got the fire department coming, the police department coming. We got biker clubs coming. We got churches coming. Wow. Everybody is coming. So be there, be a part, and be blessed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm excited. What are the hours?
We are starting at 8:30 in the morning with Feed the Children, and then at 10 a.m. we're going to start all of the activities throughout the day.
Until?
Until 4 p.m.
Until 4 p.m. Okay, I'm going to have to head on over that way myself, and I'll continue to make the announcements here on the radio broadcast for that particular outreach. It's going to be powerful, and God is getting the glory, and that is a great way to impact the communities. How do we get Feed the Children for people who are listening? I have people from Chicago and different area codes who are listening. How do they get Feed the Children to come out? Is that just a phone call?
Yes, it's just a phone call to Feed the Children and or to their website, feedthechildren.org, to sponsor a truck. And this is one of the things I tell you is a miracle from God. My church is not a large church, and the truck itself to sponsor is $8,000 to sponsor a truck.
You had to put out $8,000
just for the truck, yes.
Wow.
$8,000 for the truck. And that has nothing to do with all of the hot dogs, hamburgers, chicken, all the stuff that we're going to be serving that day. The $8,000 is just for the Feed the Children truck and the food that we're going to be giving off after or that truck. But all day long, they'll be eating and drinking and enjoying good, safe, clean fun.
To God be the glory. Now, how do we, Freethinker said that you may want to talk to the mobile medical dental program. So do you have anybody coming out to do free screening and free testing on
no,
that day?
No, well, we don't, not for dental, but we do have Horizon. They're bringing their health bus, and they will be doing some screenings for, I believe, blood pressure. They're going to be doing, I believe, HIV testing and sugar. So I believe Horizon Blue Cross will be doing that, and giving out information where they can get other free tests done in the community. So we don't have a dental bus, which would be phenomenal, so that information would be great.
Okay, and free thinkers, if you have black free thinkers, if you have any, Kim, if you have any information on how we can get in touch with somebody for dental to come out on that day, you can just go ahead and put it in the chat room, and I'll pass it on to Pastor Thompson. I believe this is Tina Lane. We're going to go on to our marriage moment. I want to have anybody else who wants to call in and speak to Pastor Thompson, and within the next few minutes to call 646-652-4832. Call us at 646-652-4832 if you want to speak to Pastor Tawana Thompson, and we'll put you on the air so that you can speak with her, or if you have a comment about how the church is making a difference. I'm going to bring on Pastor Anthony Simmons. I'm going to bring on Pastor Thompson. Can you stay with me for a few minutes?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, I want to bring in Pastor Anthony Simmons because I believe he has something to say. My husband, my wonderful husband,
amen.
He normally does our parents. Amen. So I want to put him on. Honey, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman broadcast.
Amen. It's a powerful broadcast on today. As I sit and listen, I'm being mightily blessed by the women who are on your program. Pastor Thompson, powerful testimony, powerful work. Leading right back to your topic, is the church making an impact in the community? And it's just so awesome as we measure the church by sometimes a mega church or the ministries that we see on television. We have thousands of churches all over this land who are really making an impact in the community. So I thank God for her testimony today and what her church and the churches she's in collaboration with, what they're doing for the communities of North. So I'm just blessed. And I'm blessed also by Sister Kim. It's just so awesome, like you said, that you guys had the chance to dialogue and agree to disagree. It was just a blessing to hear that go forward.
Amen. Amen.
Honey?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, amen. I'm going to talk briefly about the marriage because I really want you guys to pick this back up, this discussion today. But just very briefly, coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among
you,
and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. And he goes on to tell the people of God, do you follow Apollos? Do you follow Paul? Do you follow Cephas? Or do you follow Christ? And the church at Corinth had divisions. And one thing about marriage in our world today, many are ending in divorce, and that is just simply separation or being divided. And God hates divorce. So we need to recognize in our marriages, we must, as Paul creates the arguments to the church at Corinth, I just want to share with the couples today, agree with one another. Amos 3:3 says, how could two walk together unless they agree? And it's important that husbands and wives come on one accord, because Jesus goes on to say, a house divided cannot stand. And Paul says in this simple text that there should be no divisions among you. Pastor Rebecca, you and I married 15 years. We've had our share of disagreements, but for the most part, we find a way to come to agreement, especially on those major issues. We was in a church service last night, and the young lady spoke on the spirit of pride. And pride is one of those things that we both had and God has dealt with. And I sense that sometimes in marriages, there's that stubborn pride that gets in the way of that marriage. And we need to allow our pride to be removed and replace it with humility. Because agreeing with one another and no divisions brings us to that third point that Paul talks about, being perfectly united. And that's when the Bible says, and the two shall become one flesh. So there's a process how you get to the place of becoming one flesh. You know, what is the vision for your marriage? Where is your marriage going? There's an awesome height in God that you can go to in your marriage. I don't believe many couples realize the potential of how high they can go in the things of God if they really allow that marriage to be grown up by God. God wants to bless marriages. He wants to breathe on homes. God has ordained marriage. And what we see happening in our culture today, as Sister Kim alluded to earlier, how is the church making an impact where people are physically seeing with their eye gate so much evil in our land? And I believe, Pastor Rebecca, and those who are listening, God gives us revelation and he reveals things that are wrong, not just for us to have a dialogue about it, but for us to do something about it. I'm feeling God. Even in our marriage, God has shown me over the 15 years of marriage where I was at fault and what I had to do, how I had to repent and turn from certain behaviors and characteristics and faults, how I, along those 15 years, had to come and apologize or have remorse for certain things that have either come out of my mouth or have been spewing out through my actions. And the same thing with you. And I believe that, you know, divorce is high in the church today is because there's no teaching. As your caller said earlier, Pastor Thompson said, there are certain dysfunctions, there are certain curses that have been on families for a long time. But God says the curse is broken today. The curse is broken today.
But
we come into our marriages with issues and baggage and certain behaviors and characteristics, the power of the Holy Spirit can break that mindset, can break that spirit, can break that demonic force that have been killing so many destinies and allow us to turn and go into the destiny that God has ordained us to go into. So, you know, I have so much about your topic in my spirit, but I also want to relate it to marriage because what Sister Kim said was so vitally important. Why would God allow evil to be birthed into the world? And we understand that people are talking about why would God give people a choice of the trees that they can eat from in the garden, knowing that Adam and Eve had the choice to choose of the fruit of evil. They picked that fruit. Why did God even give them a choice? And that argument is going to go on probably until Jesus comes. But I thank God that Sister Kim, and I know atheists, and I know people that have fallen away from this church. And we heard a sister last night who was a Buddhist and now a Christian. I know when I was younger, growing up in North, the Muslims had my ear. And I found myself sitting in a temple, a mosque, a temple of Muslims. Because guess what? The Christian at that time didn't have my ear, but the Muslims had it because they were the ones in the streets of North trying to make a difference.
Absolutely.
I see that, you know, Sister Kim has people in her ear. She's reading certain books. Just like we go to the Word of God, which we believe by faith is the Word of God. So I thank God for your discussion today, and I just want to encourage married couples to stay in agreement, have no divisions among you, and allow God to perfectly unite you, and you watch what God do in that marriage.
My God. Amen, baby.
Amen.
That is just powerful. Wow. Wow. Marriage is awesome. I'm happy to be married. We'll be celebrating 15 years on the 20th
Amen.
Of this month. Hallelujah. I'm just so happy the Lord sent him into that bar to find me, Pastor Tawana.
Amen.
I tell you, sent him to the Vanity Club in North to get me. So I just thank God he wasn't all the way set free. I'm glad he wasn't delivered yet.
Amen.
He wasn't delivered yet, but he's delivered now, I can tell you for sure. And I just thank God for the man of God. You know, there was something different about him then, even though he was still, God was still working out, he was still working out his own salvation with fear and trembling, but God knew what would get my attention, and he sent this man of God my way, and he's been in my life ever since, and I just thank God for him.
Yes.
So, baby, that was powerful, and thank you And thank you for taking us back to the garden. I mean, you're right. God put the two trees there, and guess what he put there? Choice.
Yes, he did. From the beginning, choice. It's amazing. He puts things before us, and then he says, I'm going to let you decide what you're going to do. That's, who else would do a thing like that? That is so awesome. Awesome.
Wow.
Free will and choice.
Free will and choice. My God.
Good Lord.
My God. And when we choose what's right, my God, when we choose God's way, my God, it's so awesome. You know, and we could go into a whole nother show, so we better not even open that up because we only have about 20 more minutes. I see you about to get something started up in here.
Oh.
I want to have you come over to the church. We got to have you. I was just praying last night on my women's conference, so I'm going to be checking with you to see what your conference, your schedule is like, because I just sense that God is, he has some word for some folks, and I know that you're preaching. I know you're preaching. I know you're pastoring, and I know you're busy, but I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you to come and share some time with me in ministry.
Absolutely. It would be an honor to be with you. I'm not that busy. Everybody don't like what I preach. The name of the ministry is Truth. That's all I got.
Well, we need the truth, because the truth is going to set us free.
Amen.
Tina Lane is here. I want to get Tina on the air. And also, again, you could call in 646. We only have 20 minutes left. If you have any comments on how the church is making, impacting the community, is the church making a difference? I wanted to say this to honey, Pastor Anthony, my darling husband, my wonderful husband, whom I love so dearly. I just want to say this, honey. You just showed us another way that the church is making a difference in the lives of families, in the lives of families, that if we can get this marriage thing together, because there's a high percentage of divorce in the church. And if we can, as the church, show the world what marriage is really about, we can begin to, again, take the world back, even in the form of marriage, even in the area of marriage, that we can show people what family is and how the God has made a difference in our lives, in our marriage, with our children, who we have four children, black children, who are doing well, you know, from 35 to 13.
Wow.
And we just praise God. I said 33. I had my daughter when I was 16, so she'll be 34 this year, from 33 to 13. And we're raising positive kids in a negative world. So, you know, I just thank God. To God be the glory. So, honey, thank you for being a wonderful husband. Thank you for being a man of God. Thank you for being a man of character and integrity.
Yes.
Because when you look at the world and the news for black men, it's not favorable. When you look at the news for church, for marriage, it's not favorable. And we need to change the way that the news is reporting church. It's not favorable in a lot of cases. So we're going to make a difference starting with us, like Michael Jackson said, starting with the man in the mirror so that we can impact society. Amen. Pastor, did you have anything? I'm going to bring Tina Lane on, but did you have anything else just before I bring on?
I just wanted to say thank you to you and to your husband and for this wonderful broadcast. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Amen. Well, you stay with us. I wasn't talking to you. I'm supposed to pass to Anthony. You stay with us because you and Tina are going to close this out. Pastor Anthony, did you have anything else before I bring Tina on?
No, I just want to continue to listen and give the women of God airtime because you're about to close. But thank you for those kind remarks.
Thank you, honey. Thank you so much for taking the time out to do the marriage moments here on Woman to Woman. Tina Lane, Tina L. Lane, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. Hi, Pastor Tawana Thompson.
Hey, Kitty.
Hey. How are you? Praise God. Praise God. I'm sorry I did come on late because I had another meeting I was attending. But praise God, didn't hear certain things that I was said. Pastor Anthony, for his word that he spoke about. And I came in the middle of Pastor Rebecca talking to you, Pastor Thompson, and you were just explaining the details of the festival. My God, that person, if he has the contact for Dentsu, I would love to get it. He made me think about something, so on Monday, you know I will be making phone calls.
Amen.
Okay, Tina, we do have a contact here. It's been put into the chat room. I see Pastor Thompson, you're in the chat room. And there's a website also. I think it's moving too fast, but the website is www.ramusa.org/expeditions/schedule.htm. So it is, she's given us a place in our. They go all over the country, and basically she's given us their schedule, so you can go into their website and take a look at that and see if we can get them to come out on the 23rd. And there's a phone number. It's the Remote Area Medical, and they're 1834 B Street in Tennessee, but she said they go all over, and maybe they have someone locally. The phone number is 877-5-RAM-USA. So it's 865-579-1530 is the direct line. So we're definitely going to get in touch with them to see. And I know Tina will do it.
Yeah, I'm
finally
Tina. Amen.
Amen. So Tina, you've been excited about this outreach. Let us. What is your part in this day? And what else do you have to say about what's actually going to take place on the 23rd?
Well, my part in this is my church is partnering up with Pastor Tawana Thompson Shoes Ministry. My pastor is Reverend Edward A. Allen from Philemon Missionary Baptist Church, and I am the liaison, festival liaison person for my church. And I'm just looking forward to, it was just an honor, first of all, to be working with Pastor Tawana Thompson. She's a great woman of God. And I'm just looking for a lot of people to come out and to benefit from Feed the Children because the environment that we are in the city of Newark, is often overlooked. So I'm looking, I'm so glad that the three churches are able to come together and have Feed the Children come in, as well as to have other information there for the people in the community to inspire Father, we have Horizon. Father, we have the fire department coming in. We have other different vendors. I'm looking for a day. There's going to be a move of God in that place, in that area that day. Somebody's going to be inspired. Someone's going to be uplifted, understanding that their circumstances is not going to be the same. So that's what I'm looking for on that day. And I know this is going to happen on that day because we have, I said 2,000 people, but Pastor Tawana Thompson, you know, I was joking around. She said, hey, it could be 2,000 that's going to come out. We already know it's going to be 600 because we've seen 600 families.
Amen. Well, 600 family, but thousands, that can equate to, you know, a couple of thousand people. You know, you're only able to feed 600, but I believe the Lord's going to send an influx of people out to the community, and it's just so, I'm blessed. I'm really blessed to hear about this, that you guys, three churches in that area are not competing against each other, but coming together. Co-laboring for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So to God be the glory for the great things
he's
doing. And for your role, and you always talk to me about Pastor Thompson, and today I had the pleasure. I mean, my baby is leaping. Hallelujah.
Thank God.
My goodness, I have found me a sister. I'm going to be over there to see you sooner than you think. I tell you, I just feel the anointing in your life, and the word coming out of your mouth. There's power there. There's dunamis and exousia, power and authority. And I just thank God for Kim even coming on today. Kim, she's been such a blessing today.
Amen.
You know,
Kim, keep us on our toes, girl. Keep us on our toes.
Amen.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to listen to the archives to hear everything again.
Yes.
So to God be the glory. And then Tina, just go ahead. I'm going to take a call. We do have a call. Minister Valerie Allen still with us, and no one else has called in. Believe it or not, I thought we would have the switchboard lit up with this topic. Again, you still have a few minutes to call in. 15 minutes. 646-652-4832. 646-652-4832. We have a lot of people listening, and that's a good thing. So if you want to be on the air, just call in and raise your hand. I see a couple people. The switchboard is lit up, but if you want to be on the air, just push 1. I see you there. If you want to talk, push 1, and I'll put you on the air so that you can talk to Sister Kim's here. Pastor Tawana Thompson is here. Tina Lane is here. Minister Valerie Allen is with us. I see quite a few calls. I just scrolled down. I may have missed some callers because I scrolled down my switchboard, and I see every phone is lit up on my switchboard.
That's a blessing.
To God be the glory. And they're all from Newark. They're from New Jersey. So we have Chicago on the line. We have a 708 area code. I see you there. But the most of the calls are here from New Jersey. Listen, you New Jersey listeners, get the word out. Go on Facebook. Hook up with Pastor Tawana Thompson and Tina Lane so that you can spread the word. Post this on your Facebook page so you can spread the word about what's happening on the 23rd. And let people know they have to register. If you know someone who's not working, who's disabled, who has children, who's on welfare, let them know, or even having a hard time, let them know what's happening on Clinton Place on the 23rd. Amen. So, to God,
Pastor
Rebecca. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Pastor Rebecca, if I can get that information from you again, or the dental, because I didn't have a pen, or you can just send it to me after the show.
Yes, for the dentist. Yes, I have that information. I'll give you there. The phone number is 1-877.
Okay.
1-877-5 Ram.
Would you sit down, please? Would you sit down, please?
USA. 1-877 Ram USA.
Okay, so 1-877. R-A-M-U-S-A?
R-A-M-U-S-A. And their website is www.ramusa.org/expeditions/schedule.htm. So you can, again, pick that up in the archives, too. And Pastor Tawana is going to write it down because I see her in the chat room. I'm sure she's have you written it down yet, Pastor Tawana?
Yes, I have. I do have it.
Okay,
yes, ma'am.
Amen. Amen. She has it. As well as any listeners, you can go to, if you want to hear, we have a commercial for this event on www.ibn4u.com. Again, www.ibn4u.com. You can hear our commercial for this event.
Amen. So, Tina, while you're with us, before I put any more callers, again, people are listening. I believe people really want to know how is the church making a difference and how the church is making a difference. And if you've listened, you've heard a lot today for everybody who's listening. If not, call in because Kim came in and she really challenged us and gave us a lot of questions and thoughts. And also Pastor Tawana and myself, we've shared a lot. Pastor Anthony has shared a lot. Tina, I want to give you an opportunity to share your viewpoints on whether or not the church is making a difference.
Amen. Wow, okay. You put me on the spot here. Amen. Wow.
Amen. And just, you know, yeah, is the church making a difference and how? It could be personal. It can be on a wider scale, but you go to church, right?
Yes, amen. I go to church. I've been to church.
Okay.
I would say, is the church making a difference as a whole? This is a 50-50. I believe that overall that in some churches there could be a difference where there's a different outlet. Sometimes in the church we minister about things that goes on in the church where there isn't any resources or any other ministry to help what we minister about. So if you're saying something about in reference to your church and people having different vices in their life, is there a ministry? For example, I'm going to use a woman ministry. In general, in our church, we have a lot of women that are could be hurting. And you may hear that your pastor or your minister talk about this consistently, but no one or the deacon board or the trustee board, whatever, wants the ministry to be there. So I'm thinking, like, we have to have actions with our words. It just can't just be the church can't just talk about certain things that's happening, but then you don't have no action to actually to eliminate or to help people to move out of that direction. It's more about having people having a connection and relationship with Christ and changing their life. Other than coming to the church every day and having a commitment to church but not a commitment to Christ.
Yeah. Amen. And that's a good answer. See, you didn't think you had anything to say, but you had something to say, and that was powerful. And we take and apply the word of God as opposed to just hearing the word. And just stay with me because we have a caller. I want to get this caller on the air. Area code 708, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman broadcast.
God bless you, my friend. How are you?
God bless you. I'm doing well. Is this Pastor Larry?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Yes, ma'am. I've been enjoying the broadcast so far, and I want to kind of touch on the question you just posed. Is the church making a difference? And first of all, I want to say hi to your guest, your pastor there in Jersey City. And what she's doing, I would love to commend her for that because it is those outreaches that show the world how much we love them. Because if you look at Jesus, what Jesus did over in the book of John, Jesus touched the world and didn't ask anything from them. But he was willing to sit down and feed them, touch them, and to show them love, even though there was no guarantee that they would reciprocate any of that love back. And so if the church is going to make a difference, the Bible says this. Jesus said that they should know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another. And so, first of all, I want to commend her for her excellent outreach that she's doing over there in that part of the of the city.
Amen.
Because of the impactful on those who don't really know Jesus. And the truth is, a lot of those family pastors are going to need someone to just show love to them. You know, like here in Chicago, every year we see our neighborhood give them whole dinners, for Thanksgiving. We give them clothes and things like that. And we have faith for our community. And it's not so that so much they can come and join our church, because in our community, in our area, there are 141 churches.
Wow.
What makes a church impactful is your big difference from all the other churches. And so we don't go out and canvas the neighborhood to get members. We first go out for that, number one, so that we can show the love of God. Number two, so that we can introduce them to God. And number three, so that we can tell them that God loved them enough to save them from like they are, from where they are, to take them to the place where they really want to be. And I believe this with all my heart, that if we would simply learn how to just love people and not convict them, not put them under condemnation, then the word can be made manifest in our life. Because the word says this clearly. It says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. You know, and so one of the things I tell them here in our ministry, I said, if we just stop trying to be Holy Spirit, let Holy Spirit do his job, and if we do what God has called us to do, we can reach a whole lot more people more expeditiously if we simply learn how to love each other.
Wow.
Wow.
Amen. 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 That was great.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I thought you had a response to that. I know you were burning the heart there.
Well, you know, I'm always excited when we start talking about reaching into the community and doing our part. As I always tell people, listen, we can get more done together than we can do separate. And the world is in need of what we have, you know, and the reality of it is I tell my church all the time, sometimes we're the only Jesus people will ever see. And so we've got to be
that living epistle,
walking, breathing, moving, living epistle. Some people will never pick up their Bible. Our lives is what they're going to read. And they can't read our lives behind these four walls. We've got to get out into what the Bible says, the highways and the hedges, and compel men to come. So this is the mandate for the church. If we did more of that, we wouldn't have so much confusion in the churches. This is not a battle. This is not a battle of the... territory. This is not for territory. There's plenty of souls to go around. We got to get out and build the kingdom and not the church.
That's right.
There's enough churches being built. We got to build the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Yes.
If I put this in right fast, if you read this scripture, what you will read is that Jesus did more miracles outside the church than he did in the church.
Yes, sir.
And I believe one of the problems we have in Christendom is that we try to come in church and be great wonders in the church. But the work is only outside of the church. They're the ones who are hurting. They're the ones who are sick. They're the ones who want to heal. The power is there. The power is there in us. So we have to be like Jesus, even the woman at Samaritan. Jesus wasn't going to talk to her. The woman with the issue of blood. He just brought her to her. He healed because they made a demand on him, not because he came to heal them.
If we
go where they are, then the power of God that's in us will manifest to them, and then they'll do like they did Jesus after. Then they'll follow us because saw the miracles. And the reason folks are not coming to church because they don't see the signs. And Jesus told them, I believe it is in John chapter 6. He said, you follow me because you see the miracles. The truth is, Pastor, they'll come if they see the miracles. But we have to offer them more than just Jesus. We give them Jesus, but show them love. And I promise
you,
they'll come and they'll stay and they'll impact somebody else.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. And that's it in a nutshell, that we have to love, you know, and not be so focused on competing against each other and trying to see who has the most people sitting in the church on Sunday morning. Enough of that. But listen, we only have a minute and 52 seconds. Mr. Valerie Allen, I know you're there, and I know you have the word burning in your heart, but the Lord had just wanted to highlight Pastor Tawana Thompson and her outreach ministry in Newark, Pastor Larry in Newark, New Jersey. Pastor Larry to Chicago, Pastor Tawana Thompson.
Amen.
And she's doing this outreach as a new, as a pastor. She's been in ministry for a long time. But really the Lord has put upon her heart to do this outreach. And she's reached out to some awesome men of God, and they have embraced this vision and embraced her, and they're doing this together. And I think it's powerful to see men and women of God. Like she said, a woman on Clinton Place coming together to serve the Lord. And that is just awesome. That
Amen.
Woman
can
on
get away from
place. So Tina and Pastor Larry in Chicago, thank you guys for being with us on today. We only have 53 seconds. Minister Valerie Allen, thank you. I see you there. You're on the air. I see you there. But you always have a word. I know we're going to hear more from you on next week. Go out to this outreach. Go to Pastor Tawana's Facebook page. Go to her website. What is your website, Pastor
okay.
Tawana?
It's Truth Ministry, IN as in Nancy, TL.org.
Amen. Truth Ministries, INTL.org. Go to her website and become a part. Sow some seeds, you know,
Amen.
Send some
Amen.
Money. I know they talk about the church always asking for money, but yeah, sow some seeds. She said it cost $8,000 to have this truck come out. And also, she's not mega. See, a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that all ministries are mega ministries, but there are a lot of local community churches. We're in the community. We're in the hood. We're making a difference in the community, and Pastor Juan is one of those churches. So sow some seed, go to her website, go to her Facebook page. I thank you both for being with me. I thank all of you for being with me. God bless you, Pastor Tawana. Did you
bless
have anything
you,
before we go off the air?
No, once again, I just wanted to say thank you so much for the opportunity. I thoroughly enjoyed everybody today. Sister Tina, you will always and forever be my sister. I love you. Thank you for connecting, Sister Pastor Rebecca and I. Thank you. For everything. I really appreciate this time.
Amen. Amen. Sister Tina, we're not streaming, but just for the archive and the closing remarks.
Amen. Again, like I wanted to say, thank you again, Pastor Becca, for having us on here. And thank you for this opportunity. I know that this is a great opportunity for us, and I'm glad that you and Pastor Tawana had the opportunity to connect. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm one of Tina's spirit. I consider her to be my daughter. I love her. I've had the opportunity to mentor this young lady, and I'm just so blessed with what God is doing in your life, Tina. So you continue to press towards the things of God and know that God has great plans, even greater things in store for you. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know. I see a hand raised. We're not streaming, but we are in the archives. I'm going to be bold enough to take this call. Area code 973, you're on the air. We're not on the air. We're streaming. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Hello?
Yes, good. Is ready?
Oh, hi, my name is Latoya Perry, and I'm a member of Truth Ministries International. That's my pastor, Pastor Tawana Thompson. I just wanted to share about how the ministry has blessed me and transformed my life and allowed me to truly walk after righteousness as a Christian ought to. Going to the ministry, it has taught me accountability, responsibility, and sacrifice. And it's not just something that's being said. It's something that I can see is being lived through the life of my leaders, both my pastor and my sister's pastor, Pastor Andrea Best. And their love and their heart for the people in the community and their heart for God is what drives me and motivates me to do the same. So I am completely excited and thrilled about the event on July 23rd. I will be there with all hands on deck doing whatever is required because I want to reach lives and touch the youth just as I did before I was living for God. So I feel as though there should be no difference in your determination and your level of energy and drive for what you do. You just change it over to God. So that's what I'm trying to do.
I tell you, from the pastor to the congregants, to the family, the church family, so good to see that fire. That's the fruit That's some fruit right there. And to God be the glory. Thank you so much for calling in, LaToya. It's been a blessing hearing your testimony and just hearing your fervor and your zeal to go out and make an impact on the kingdom of God the same way that you made an impact when you were in the world. And I'm just so, I don't know you, but I'm godly proud of you, young lady. And you keep on pressing forward, keep following your leader and pressing forward into the things of God.
I will. Amen. God bless you.
Love you, little girl.
Love you too, Ma.
Amen. To God be the glory. So that's it. We're out of time. Again, thank you both all for being with us on the day. Minister Valerie Allen, I see you there. You're on the air. I know we haven't had a chance to talk. We just want to say anything in closing as we go off the air.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca Simmons. It certainly has been a joy to be here with all of you today. Just want to say God bless Sister Kim, who started this on today. God bless you, Pastor Tawana. God bless you, Sister Tina Lane. One thing I just want to say to Pastor Tawana, through things passed out to me when you said the angels and the demons waiting for you when you come into the world, that blessed me on today. And also when you talked about Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go. I'm so firmly on that scripture. When you train up the child in the way it should go, like you said in the word, that was a wonderful word on today. And I just was posting things on Facebook today so everybody can read it on today. I just post up the scripture. I just want to say, and also to Pastor Sarkins, I believe it is Larry Sarkins, and with regard to his testimony unto the glory of God with the word and tying in with to Matthew 25:36-46 with regard to community outreach. I believe all of you guys is doing just what the word of God says. For as I was hungry, you gave me meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. So that is the word of the Lord on today. So I thank God so much for this time and this opportunity. As always, Pastor Rebecca, God bless you. Wonderful, wonderful, and awesome show ministry unto the glory of God.
To God be the glory. Thank you so much, Minister Valerie Allen. Well, God bless you. And to all of our listeners here, please come in next week. If you missed any of the broadcasts, go to blogtalkradio.com/power. And even if you didn't, listen to the archives. Sow a seed into this ministry, into Truth International Ministries for the outreach that they're doing.
Amen.
And also post this broadcast on your Facebook pages. Let somebody know about what the Lord is doing through these ministries that you've heard on today. I believe that this is the broadcast that must be heard. So post it on your Facebook pages. If you're looking for a place to worship on tomorrow in North, you can go to Truth International Ministries. I believe they're at 280 Clinton Place in North New Jersey. There's Philemon Baptist Church. They're also on Clinton Place. And we are New Creation Christian Ministries. We're at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. If you're in Chicago, go over to the Faith Family Christian Center. Over on, I don't have the information there, but go to the internet, Google them. These are some great places of worship, and God has a word for you. So go to church tomorrow and go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you all. Know that God loves you, and so do I. Amen and praise God. God bless you. Amen.
God bless.
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, you're welcome.